evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, May 2nd, 2016. JMAC holds its first meeting with members of the new transitional government of national unity to discuss sticky issues.
There are a lot of complaints that the government, the previous government, used to hinder the access to humanitarian. We promise that we are going to address this issue. The portfolio is under the SPLM in opposition. We promise that we are going to cooperate with the international and regional partners as the government of national unity to see into it that the humanitarian access is addressed and the needed people are rescued with the necessary humanitarian assistance.
And non-governmental organizations are glad the new government has finally been formed.
Since most of our brothers and sisters are in IDP camps and others actually went outside this country, we need them also to be back in their places.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or JMAC, today convened its first meeting since last week's formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity to talk about and resolve issues in the peace agreement. JMAC officials say the new unity government is moving towards achieving consensus. Waki Wudu Simon reports for VOA from the capital, Juba.
The meeting, which dragged on for 6 hours, focused on representation of the other political parties in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, challenges of humanitarian access and security arrangements. The controversy over certain SPLAIO cantonment areas in Bahr el Ghazal and Equatorial regions is another unresolved issue. Before the Transitional Government of National Unity was formed, officials allied with President Salva Kiir rejected the creation of some cantonment areas for rebel forces in those two areas. Information Minister Michael Makwe says the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements monitoring mechanism has been directed to intensify efforts to verify SPLAIO cantonment areas in the two regions.
They have made some progress and understanding in the agreement. The parties have been directed to ensure that the parties comply and that these people should not be obstructed. Instead, they should be facilitated so that they can verify whatever is reported.
No breakthroughs have been reported on that contentious issue so far. Representation of other political parties in the new government is another unresolved issue. Dio Mathok, who represented Riek Machar's side at today's JMAC meeting, says JMAC will discuss that issue during a meeting scheduled for next week. According to the peace agreement, other political parties who are stakeholders to the peace agreement are to nominate 17 lawmakers to the transitional parliament. Other political parties represented in the Transitional Government of National Unity so far are Agriculture and Food Security Minister Lam Akol and Cabinet Affairs Minister Elia Lomuro. Mathok says all officials at today's meeting agreed to ensure humanitarian access to areas that require relief aid across the country.
There are a lot of complaints that the government, the previous government, used to hinder the access to humanitarian. We promise that we are going to address this issue. The portfolio is under the SPLM in opposition. We promise that we are going to cooperate with the international and regional partners as the government of national unity to see into it that the humanitarian access is addressed and the needed people are rescued with the necessary humanitarian assistance.
On Friday, President Kiir and First Vice President Machar swore into office 30 ministers of the Transitional Government of National Unity, which was formed on the basis of the August Peace Agreement. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some international and local non-governmental organizations in South Sudan are welcoming last week's formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity. They say the country's leaders must finally deliver much-needed services to its citizens. Mungume Devs Rakarinj has more for VOA from Juba.
Woodkan Sevia Lazalas is the director of the local NGO Support Peace Initiative Development Organization, which promotes peace and conflict mitigation. He says the economic hardships is forcing many people to participate in criminal activities. Lazarus says the new government must revamp the country's economy and improve security.
We are expecting this transitional government of national unity to beef up the security seriously, and also to see into that resettlement of these IDPs and refugees is one of the key important components in this priority, because we, since most of our brothers and sisters are in IDP camps and others actually went outside this country, we need them also to be back in their places.
Joseph Akech, a policy director at the child rights group Save the Children, agrees, but says the government must also focus on opening access for humanitarian groups to deliver help to the needy.
Save the Children calls upon the unity government to honor the provision of the peace agreement, particularly Chapter 3, which calls for parties to commit themselves to enabling environment for the delivery of humanitarian assistance to the needy people across the country. And also that the parties further commit themselves to facilitate the release of children within their ranks and support to the orphans, children and the needy population.
Akech also says the new government should set aside more money for children's education and remove the barriers that prevent education for girls. Ria William Yodaya, a project officer with the Mundri Relief Organization, says the only way to achieve development and put the country back on track is to reduce the long simmering hostilities between communities.
We should forget about tribalism. We should forget about divisions. We should forget about our differences and work towards national unity. They should work together to ensure that all the tribes of South Sudan are South Sudanese and not I'm from this state, I'm from that tribe, but rather South Sudanese.
Andrew Okony Ayum, a member of parliament, says citizens have high expectations of the transitional government of national unity.
As the situation is now in South Sudan, the starvation is real, displacement is real, the basic delivery, okay, is very important and essential this time. They want food, they want medication, they want other services like water, sanitation, they want other things.
Olony says both President Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar should seek foreign financial aid to use to improve the lives of ordinary citizens. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj.
Still on the formation of the Government of National Unity, South Sudanese refugees in Uganda are welcoming last week's formation of this government. They say they are relieved that at last peace is returning to South Sudan and they can soon return to their homes. Bonifacio Taban spoke to refugees at Boyales Refugee Settlement Camp in Uganda and has this report for VOA.
South Sudanese women sing songs about peace during a community function last weekend at the Biala Refugees Settlement Camp in Uganda. Many South Sudanese refugees in Uganda said they won't return home after living more than 2 years in exile. Maloria Baishefason of the South Sudanese community in Biala Refugee Settlement Camp said for several months many refugees here felt it was meaningless to plan for the future.
Actually, it is really a great excitement and very joyous about the coming of Dr. Riek Machar Tengurgon into Juba. By the day, we were not even expecting that he is going to come. It was really by the time when he touched down Juba that it came to our attention that a peace has come back home to South Sudan.
John Ginub Otto, a musician who played to neighboring Uganda when the fighting broke out in late 2013, said like their fellow citizens back home, refugees in Uganda are tired of war. Speaking in Arabic, Otto said he hoped the peace deal, which led to the formation of the transitional government of national unity, will help reunite people torn apart by the war.
We believe this is the beginning of the implementation of the peace agreement, and we believe in future conflict will not repeat itself. They are coming together once more to form the transitional government of national unity is a good sign for us.
The renowned singer said she will use music to promote peace among South Sudanese community, saying music can teach people to shun tribalism. Speaking in Nuer, Marza Nyakume, a South Sudanese refugee and a church leader in Biala, said feasts should be embraced by the leaders and citizens. Nyakume said South Sudanese are gathered as a community here today to thank God for the return of peace to South Sudan. He heard it, the coming of our leader mean a lot, and we have to thank God for bringing us peace. Nyakuma said women in South Sudan and in refugee camp like Viala bore the brunt of the conflict during the more than 20 months of fighting. He said, now that peace is restored, many women are angered to return home. Deng Somas, a refugee from Jonglei State, said, with the return of Riek Machar to Juba, he hoped to return to his village soon.
Because that thing is, it means something good to us. Since we left our country, we hope things will be well as he is back. I will be ready to go back, because when we are asked to go back to South Sudan, that means that everything is now going well.
According to UNHCR, there are nearly 125,000 South Sudanese refugees in Uganda. UNHCR officials are yet to comment on the status of South Sudanese refugees in Uganda since the formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity. Deng said he and his family will be happy to go back. For VOA News, I'm Bonifacio Taban, reporting in Biala Camp in Uganda.
Authorities in the new state of Wau have approved 5 million South Sudanese pounds to finance an inter-ethnic conference in Wau aimed at normalizing relations between local communities and the army. Hundreds of unarmed civilians were killed in Wau. UNMISS officials in Wau welcomed the upcoming conference, saying it should help citizens rebuild trust between their communities and the army. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Wau.
Wau state officials set aside 5 million South Sudanese pounds to facilitate the inter-state conference for Wau state to be held in the next 2 weeks. The leaders in the region believe that the neighboring states can play a greater role to reduce ethnic tensions in Wau. They say since a government investigation team arrived to determine the facts behind the crisis, Wau State Governor Elias Wanyipoch says the national government in Juba is providing the funds to facilitate all necessary arrangements for the conference.
This money will not be used for anything else except for the conference.
Fabiana Ngesa, State Advisor for Peace and Reconciliation, says they discovered during many public rallies held in various communities that tribalism is the main cause of the current crisis in Wau.
We have intercommunal crisis. We have tribalism. People from the other side, they don't like people from the other side. We have to come together and see or know the solution to this problem, to brainstorm our mind and come out with a resolution to the conflict.
Winnie Babihuga, the UNMISS state coordinator in Wau, has appealed to the government to continue working for peace and reconciliation to help restore trust between civilians and security agents.
The government should continue to engage in the process of reconciliation and healing for all the affected communities, because this is important for the people to know that their government cares. And this process should also include the security forces who at times they have been in confrontation with the communities and the communities don't even want to see them.
Babihuga says soldiers should protect civilians rather than torment them.
We want to build that confidence where an ordinary person will look at an SPLS soldier as their protector and not their tormentor. Where the communities will know that they will go to the police and their cases will be heard.
Wow, residents like Rita Gaudencio welcome the conference.
What I want to see in this conference is that it should be conducted for different groups. For example, for youth should be alone, women alone, and for elders and soldiers different. Because if we make it at once for all these groups, we will not know what exactly has happened.
The conference is also expected to deal with issues such as how farmers and cattle keepers can peacefully coexist, as well as finding amicable solution to border issues. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, U.S. lawmakers want President Barack Obama to do something for Darfur. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's your favorite day of the week and why?
Friday, like that 10 minutes before work closes, yeah, that's my best time. Because now when after work, now you realize that, yeah, minutes are going and Monday will soon be here. That's when now you start counting.
My favorite day of the week, I'll choose a Saturday because I get to meet most of my friends and then we sit down, we talk and laugh also.
Sunday, because I go to church, I meet friends, some whom maybe may not meet up throughout the week. I meet with them, we chat.
My favorite day of the week is Friday because that leads to the weekend. At least I get a chance to relax. I'm off from work and I'm able to do my own thing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. U.S. lawmakers are urging U.S. President Barack Obama to make Sudan a high priority in his final 8 months in office. 100 members of Congress signed a letter to President on Friday calling him to take action against atrocities being committed by the Sudanese government in Darfur. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
James McGovern, a fellow Democrat from Massachusetts, is one of the lawmakers who signed the letter. McGovern says the U.S. government should adhere to the never-again promise it made after the Rwanda genocide to not stand idly by when mass atrocities occur anywhere in the world.
If we really mean that, then we got to do more than just kind of throw our hands up in the air and say, isn't it too bad about what's happening in Sudan? We need to increase the pressure. We need to do everything we can to encourage change where the human rights of everybody is respected.
By increasing pressure, McGovern says the U.S. government should enhance current sanctions and utilize the good relations it already has to pressure Sudan into ending the genocide. Hundreds of activists, faith leaders, and families echoed McGovern's message to President Obama during the second annual Walk to End Genocide held in Washington on Sunday. The peaceful protest, co-sponsored by the Jewish World Watch and the Darfur Interfaith Network, was aimed at exposing governments who commit atrocities like the one in Darfur. Hawa Saleh, a survivor of the genocide in Darfur, took part in Saturday's walk. She says she wants the world to help end the genocide in Darfur.
We are here again also today to ask everyone to act about the genocide must be end. We are here also today to call for peace for all victims and survivors of genocide. Thus, we are here today. We are still also asking the President Obama to act to end the genocide globally, especially in Darfur and in Sudan as well.
Innocent Rugaragu, a U.S. resident from Rwanda, was another participant in the Walk to End Genocide. He says no one should have to experience the violence and fear he faced in Rwanda's genocide during the 1990s. Rugaragu says a genocide-free world is possible, but also says politicians who commit human rights abuses should be punished.
So we can live happily, peacefully, and share these resources for our happiness, all of us. So leaders and the globe, please say no to genocide and say never again, let it never again be never again.
More than a decade has passed since the fighting began in Darfur. Congressional members like McGovern think the U.S. can and should do more. For example, McGovern says the U.S. government should expand sanctions to focus more on top-level officials, financial institutions, and other facilitators of the conflict in Darfur.
We think that we need additional levers and additional sanctions and additional pressures to put on the Sudanese government in a way that doesn't harm the Sudanese people, but makes it very clear to Mr. Bashir that we are not going to sit by and allow a war criminal to be able to do whatever he wants to do, that there's a consequence to this.
Amy Friedman Cecil, the Walk and Community Development Director for Jewish World Watch, says the biggest mistake that people can make is to give up on the people of Darfur.
Never give up, but never stand idly by. People need to take responsibility for what's going on in the world, not just their backyard. And if we do that, the whole world would be a better place.
McGovern says the U.S. is uniquely positioned to bring the decade-long conflict in Darfur to an end.
This has been going on for many, many years. And quite frankly, the whole world community should be ashamed of that fact, that we haven't been able to kind of organize internationally better to stop this. But it's still going on. Giving up is not an option. We need to continue to increase the pressure. That's why we have introduced legislation. That's why we have this letter to the president.
Catherine Russell, U.S. Ambassador at Large for Global Women's Issues, wrapped up a week-long trip to Malawi and Sudan yesterday. Russell's visit to Sudan concentrated on the status of women and girls, particularly preventing violence against women and empowering them economically and socially. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
VOA fellow Nadia Taha contributed to that report. There was hope that the appointment of a new regional mediator for Burundi, former Tanzanian President Benjamin Mkapa, would jumpstart the peace process. However, that has not happened. Talks that were scheduled to start in Arusha have been delayed until later this month. In the meantime, arrests, grenade attacks, and assassinations continue. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Political mediation for Burundi, scheduled to start Monday, has been postponed. Officials cited the need to consult more with the government and its opponents. A previous mediation effort led by Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni failed to make progress. In March, this African community bloc appointed former Tanzanian President Benjamin Mkapa to lead the talks and help find a solution to the country's year-long political crisis. According to officials familiar with the talks, the government is reluctant to meet with opposition groups, who they say are behind attacks on government and security officials. Government spokesman Willy Nyamitwe says the talks should expand to include opposition groups in exile.
Political talks are going on in the country because we have a commission that is dealing with inter-Burundian dialogue, but we are willing to continue this dialogue from inside to outside. So we have to go outside to meet other Burundians who cannot make their trip to Burundi.
The opposition group Sinared, whose members are mostly in exile, have accused the government of blocking them from taking part in the political dialogue. Amnesty International Deputy Regional Director Sarah Jackson says the delays affect the country's stability.
We've seen the talks delayed time and time again. And as they're delayed, it's ordinary Burundians who are suffering from the economic situation, from increasing polarization, and then from these high-profile assassinations.
Jackson says violence and human rights abuses are on the rise.
The last year has been marked by killings, torture, arbitrary arrests. And what we've seen in the last couple of weeks is an increase in targeted assassinations or attacks on high-level people from all sides.
Last week, gunmen killed a top brigadier general along with his wife and bodyguard, an act condemned by President Pierre Nkurunziza. The head of the Korenabu political movement, Diodine Birahinduka, says Burundi needs a change in leadership.
We don't believe that these people are the best people to lead the country. They don't have clean hands. Some of them have got blood under their hands. We believe that the country should be in the hands of a new generation of politicians with the help of international community.
The crisis began last year when President Nkurunziza announced he would seek a third term, a move his critics said was unconstitutional. Nkurunziza won re-election in July, but only after a coup attempt and violent protests. The United Nations says more than 400 people have been killed and more than 250,000 have fled the country since the crisis began. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John, and nice to have you back.
Thank you.
The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or JMEC, today convened its first meeting since last week's formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity to talk about unresolved issues in the peace agreement. JMEC officials say the new unity government is moving towards achieving a consensus. The meeting, which dragged on for 6 hours, focused on representation of the other political parties in the Transitional Legislative Assembly, challenges of humanitarian access and security arrangements. The controversy over certain SPLAIO cantonment areas in Bahar al-Ghazal and Equatoria regions is another unresolved issue. Before the transitional government of national unity was formed, officials allied with President Salva Kiir rejected the creation of some cantonment areas for rebel forces in those two areas. Information Minister Michael McQuay says the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements monitoring mechanism has been directed to set up efforts to verify SPLAIO cantonment areas in the two regions. Some international and local NGOs are welcoming last week's formation of the transitional government. They say the country's leaders must finally deliver on much-needed services to its citizens. Woodcan Sabor Lazarus, director of the local NGO Support Peace Initiative Development Organization, says the economic hardships is forcing many people to get involved with criminal activities. He says the new government must revamp the country's economy and improve security. Joseph Akech, a policy director at the child rights group Save the Children, agrees, but says they must also focus on assuring there's access for humanitarian groups to deliver aid to the needy. And finally, U.S. lawmakers are urging U.S. President Barack Obama to make Sudan a high priority in his final 8 months in office. 100 members of Congress signed a letter to the president on Friday calling on him to take action against the atrocities being committed by the Sudanese government in Darfur. James McGovern, a fellow Democrat from Massachusetts, is one of the lawmakers who signed the letter. He says the government should adhere to the never-again promise it made after the Rwanda genocide to not stand idly by when mass atrocities occur anywhere in the world. By increasing pressure, McGovern says, the U.S. should enhance current sanctions and utilize the good relations it already enjoys in parts of the Arab world in order to pressure Sudan into ending the genocide. Hundreds of activists, faith leaders, and families echoed McGovern's message to President Obama during the second annual Walk to End Genocide, which was held in Washington on Sunday. The peaceful protest, co-sponsored by the Jewish World Watch and the Darfur Interfaith Network, was aimed at exposing governments who commit atrocities like the one in Darfur. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And indeed, the situation in Darfur is very sad, but we have a reason to celebrate. We will now leave you with a song, Celebrate, by Isaka Number One, since there is peace in South Sudan.
Isaka Number One, Bidugu Bonate Independent, celebrate South Sudan Independence Day.
Celebrate.
Arfa alam kadina fo nezil alam ta Sudan gedim arfa alam ta Sudan gedi arfa alam ta junub Sudan celebrate.
We have been listening to Isaka Number One with the song Celebrate. I'm John Tanza in Washington. It's good to be back here in Studio 17. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Isaka Number One.